Steve Verderosa joins us here on 98.7 ESPN. Excited to have him on. Good morning. Good morning, my friend. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning to you. Happy Valentine's Day while you're sitting there.
I'm sitting here working. Happy Valentine's Day to you and your beautiful family. And, of course, your dog named Eli, which I love. And really excited to announce that Steve and I are going to have a show called In the War Room every Friday night. And it'll air on my digital media platform at Anita Marks, as well as Steve's. Steve, you want to give out your Twitter site?
TV at Pro Football Network.
There you go. And so we're really excited about it. It'll be every Friday night at 7 o'clock, and doing a deep dive into all the positions and, getting everybody ready for the draft. And so along with that, Steve is going to be joining me on my radio shows throughout the next few months, talking a lot about the draft. So really, really excited to be working with Steve this year. Steve, one of the best scouts in the NFL, was with the Giants for over 30 years and now retired but having some fun. Steve, first and foremost, I think it's important that we let, the NFL fans and listeners out there know just how different and how unique this draft process is going to be this season because there is no combine. If you can kind of explain that and break that down for us.
Well, the combine, really, the most important thing the last few years has definitely been, it's always been the medical, but the personal contact with the players, with the interview process. And that's become just paramount of importance. And without that, I mean, you can do your Zoom meetings to some degree, but it's still not having that face-to-face contact, really getting to know the players as much as possible. The touch points are really, really important. And without that, I'm just fearful there's going to be a lot of information that's going to be missing. And do you really know the player like you thought you would know the player? Because a lot of the problems that we have scouting is you go to the colleges, you can ask all the questions you want, but you're not always going to get stuff. And some places are very guarded, and they're just going to give you the – they're going to gloss over, he's a great kid, he's a good worker, no problems. And unless the guy is on the police blotter or you hear something negative on social media, you're really not going to know the player that well. And sometimes stuff happens and it's negative that impacts your team after you have them. So not having that information or as much information that you could work with as possible to make a really educated decision on who you want to take for your team, and if that's a fit, that's going to be missing.
Absolutely. So needless to say, having somebody like you, who's been a scout for several years, and having the connections, and having those contacts to be able to even do a more thorough and deep dive on these players, obviously is going to be priceless. Is there a team or an organization out there that has, a scouting department that I guess is a little bit older than most, a little bit more connected than most, that you feel is going to have a leg up against other scouting departments?
I don't think so. Really, is the individual scout with the individual relationship he has at that school. Talking to some of my friends that are working for other clubs, for example, some places, the only day that they'll speak to, it could be Monday or Friday or one day of the work week in which they'll speak to the NFL personnel. If they're limited to that, everybody's on a Zoom call. So you might have 32 teams on the same Zoom call at the same time. Other places, if you have an individual relationship with, say, the strength coach or the pro liaison, and they really trust you, guys tell me, hey, I got to call this guy at 5 o'clock in the morning, or I have to call this guy at 11:30 at night. Well, if that guy's going to do that for you, he might be doing it for a few other guys. Heck, that's asking a lot of the college personnel people to do that on the behalf of their players. Some places they might not do that that much. Some places might do it more. So you really have to rely on your personal contacts. So to say a scouting staff as a whole, that I couldn't answer. It's really about the scout's individual relationship with those different schools and who can extract the best information available. I hope
Steve
that answers your question.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's why I'm so thrilled and excited to be working with you, because you're one of those scouts this season. Steve Verderosa joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. All right, this week, Trevor Lawrence had his pro day. He's got a torn labrum in the opposite chest, shoulder area than his throwing arm, but still nonetheless, you know, everything that I'm hearing and I'm reading is that, you know, how impressive it was that he was just like, look, I'm not 100%, but you know what? And he's going to have surgery on it. So he moved his pro day up because he wants to be ready for, and we're all assuming Jacksonville's going to draft him. But what did you hear with scouts there that attended the pro day and the significance of him still having a pro day with a torn labrum?
Yeah, well, what I can tell you about it, and that's from my own personal experience, going to Clemson all those years with my relationships with the people there and just being around that player every time I was on campus, one of the reasons that he worked out, because on the surface you look at it and say, why did he work out at all, whether he's healthy or whether he's injured, a player that stature that's going to be the first player in the draft, why did he even go through a pro day? The kid is humble. The kid did the pro day for his teammates more so than for himself. So if he was there to be able to help them out, that's just a testimony to what kind of kid he is. So you put that alongside his playing ability, you know, whatever team gets him, they're going to get a great person besides the great player. When you're on campus there and they tell you, you know, you can go walk through to go to the pro viewing room at Clemson, you have to walk through the weight room. And I saw him three or four times in the weight room. The kid kind of shuns the spotlight. That's not him. He's embarrassed by when he walks across campus and goes to class when he's asked for an autograph. So you're going to get a great player that's a humble individual at the same time. His teammates love him, and that's why he worked out, because he loves his teammates. To me, you know, he's a no-brainer. Those guys come along, you know, They're generational players. So
yeah, it's really going to be fantastic, exciting to see him make it his way into the NFL and see what he's going to be able to do. You know, let's Tom McShay came out with his mock draft 1.0. Of course, by the time the draft rolls around, it's going to be like, you know, 15.0. But nonetheless, he's got four quarterbacks going 1 through 4. Let's focus on pick number 2. Of course, it's the Jets. You're here on the airwaves here in New York City. A lot of Jets fans listening right now. And there's a lot of talk and speculation on what the Jets should do. Should they keep Sam Darnold? Should they trade the pick? Should they draft Zach Wilson? Should they draft Justin Fields? Todd has them drafting Zach Wilson. I'm curious to get your thoughts on his mock draft. And if you can, compare Zach Wilson and what your thoughts are on him compared to what your thoughts were with Sam Darnold when he came out.
Well, I haven't finished my evaluation on Zach Wilson. I have watched 2 tapes so far of the games that he's played this year. And obviously, he's a good athlete. I like his ball placement. He does have he looks like he processes information really well. But he's not that big. You know, they have him listed at 6'3", 205. He doesn't look that big. To me, the one thing that I learned from George Young, and I understand that the NFL has lost its patience because coaches get hired and they get fired within a year or 2 years. But I think you have to have some patience at that position. And Sam Darnold's been in the league 3 years. He's bigger, he's stronger, and to me, he's got a better arm than Zach Wilson. So, you know, I would pump the brakes a little bit if I was in Joe Douglas's situation, and I'm not. So, and it's easy for me to say that, but you know, to me, that's a stretch to take that young man from BYU. And you're just on its surface. We're not talking about trades or anything else like that. That's all fantasy football. Until it actually happens, it's fantasy. So the reality is You have a young quarterback who's big and strong with a good arm, who unfortunately hasn't been in a situation that's been stable, changing in the front office, changing with the coaching staff. Probably be a totally different offense. So he's got to take a step back before he takes another step forward. To me, you know, I'd keep the guy that you have now. But again, that's not me. I'm not there. So I don't have to make that decision. But on the surface, I would stick with Sam. I think they have a better prospect right now, and move forward with him. Keep the assets, Steve, that you have. Build your team.
Yeah, and they have a lot of needs. They certainly have a lot of needs. You know, again, I know it's Valentine's Day. Go ahead.
No, the one thing when you're taking a quarterback, you're picking that high for a reason, because your team is flawed. So, all right, you get a great quarterback, but you don't have an offensive line, you don't have receivers, you don't have a number one receiver outside, you don't have a legitimate running back. The guy can't do it by himself. You better get some other pieces to help him. And now you have an opportunity. If you're picking second in the draft and you have a young quarterback, you have a chance to get a really good player that can help you. Maybe another offensive tackle, and then have bookend tackles to protect that young quarterback.
Again, Steve Verderosa joining us here. I know it's Valentine's Day. I know you're spending a special day with your family. So I just got one more question for you, and it's pertaining to Todd's mock draft. He's got, like I said, he's got four quarterbacks going 1 through 4. You know, I don't think anyone's going to blink or question Zach Wilson and Justin Fields, but Trey Lance, you know, quarterback who's only played, you and I have had this discussion, right? Only 17 college games in that division.
Right.
Is that, he has Carolina trading up with Miami to take Trey at number 3. You know, do you feel that there will be, whether it's Carolina or not, do you feel that there will be a team that will be enamored and fall in love with, you know, his athleticism, his size, his speed, and take a gamble with him, not just at 3, but let's just say in the top 5?
Let's go back to your original question about not having a combine. So you don't have the combine, so forget about just even the personal contact with the interview process. The workout on the floor, the more touch points you can have with the player, and you have less, and you're talking about the player that's played the least amount of games at the most important position coming from the lowest level of comp. Now, to me, that's a gigantic stretch. Now, he's listed at 6'3", 220, and I watched this year's game. He's a big athlete. There's no question about it. But his run style would be more like Cam Newton, then I hear people comparing him to Lamar Jackson. He's not that type of athlete. They run a lot of quarterback power, a lot of quarterback draw. You know what? I don't know how many of those you're going to run in the NFL without getting your, you know what, kicks. So to me, he's the biggest reach, and he might be a better athlete than some of those other guys that we've mentioned. But his resume, to me, is the weakest of those 5 guys that are mentioned to go in the first round.
One quarterback that I really like, I'm hearing a lot of good buzz, and so are you, is Matt Jones. And he was really, really impressive at the Senior Bowl. And apparently reports are Matt Rhule, head coach of the Carolina Panthers, really bonded and connected with him. So I actually, you know, if I was putting together my quote unquote, and we will do that at some point in time, Steve, as we get closer, of course, to the end of April, you know, I think a good exercise for both of us will be fun is putting together our own mock drafts. But, you know, as of right now, like, I wouldn't be shocked if Carolina just sits there at 8 and Matt Jones falls to them at 8 and they take Matt Jones. That would not surprise me.
Okay, well, of those 5 quarterbacks that he mentioned, and not a slight on any of them, you could probably say that Mac Jones would probably come in last in that race as just far as pure athleticism. You know, the running game or the quarterback run is not really part of his repertoire. They didn't do it that much at Alabama. You know, he would run out of more out of need than design. But we just had the Super Bowl, and people say the pocket passer is dead and you have to intertwine that running game. If you have the guy that can do it, that'd be great. But the Super Bowl just ended with the pocket passer, who's the oldest in NFL history. So If you can play from the pocket, there's nothing wrong with that. And that kid can process information. I've already watched 8 of his games this year. He's a great decision maker. And you can say he's a one-year starter. He, you know, filled in for Tua at the end of 2019. But this year, boy, he knows how to distribute that football. He makes instant decisions. And from what I've seen, you know, he really processes information really well. I like him a lot. Now, to me, he's more NFL ready than some of those guys that I've mentioned to go ahead of him. And that's purely based on how people see them as an athlete as opposed to a quarterback. To me, if you can't process the information, you can't play.
Steve, great stuff as always. Really, like I said, very, very excited to work with you this off season.
As
we're excited about our show in the war room. And again, it launches this Friday on our Twitter sites at Anita Mark. So by all means, please make sure you tune in for that, and it will have a life space that you could go back and watch it at any time. So and of course, excited to have you join us on 98.7 ESPN throughout this process, Steve. So we're blessed to have you. Thank you, my friend. Enjoy Valentine's Day with your family, and we'll talk soon.
All right. You too.